The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our expectations series tonight. We're going to talk about two players, our Darius Washington and Andrew Vorhees, and very excited to have my friend Kofi. You may know him as Ed Romeo from the Baltimore boards of various sorts. Kofi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a while since I've done one of these. Appreciate you having me on. I've been listening to some of the episodes, and, you know, I'm not quite up to the standard of some of the local media celebrities. I'm just kind of like the guy at the end of the bar. So that's the opinion that I'll bring.
Well, I really appreciate all you've brought in terms of analysis of the years and all your contributions to this show, Kofi. So I have trouble. Sometimes I call him Ed by accident, but he's Ed Romeo is his handle. And he's K Brizzles on Twitter, right?
Yep. Kay Brizzle's okay.
Very good. Okay. So let's talk about our Darius Washington first. I think it gets questionable as to who's the undercard on this one, because our Darius Washington could have a very important role for the Ravens this year. He's now still a third year player, even though he's in, I think, his fourth season, but because he didn't accrue the proper number of games in one of those years, he's still a year three player this year. And on the small side, for him to be playing where the Ravens apparently have him deployed early this offseason at a deep safety, kind of a split field role.
Yep. And that was his role at TCU. Back at TCU, he was a split field safety. He spent some time at deep safety, spent some time as a box safety, and spent some time at nickel.
Yeah, at the NFL level, I mean, the Ravens have Brandon Stevens, who followed a pattern like that of playing all over in the defensive backfield, including shifting around by down. But one of the issues with Ardarius is that at 5'8", 177, he may be too small for the tackling role on the back end. And one of the concerns I have is that it's easier for a good, small, quick player to be coming downhill from a short distance than it is for him to wait for somebody to approach him, a running back or even a wide receiver who's going to be larger than him in most cases. He's going to do better if he is running downhill to the point of the catch or running downhill to a point where the back is maybe turning and making his cut in order to make a play.
Yeah. At TCU, you know, he was using a bunch of different roles, and As deep safety in the NFL, it does seem like a hurdle, especially like you mentioned the angles coming from deep. And one of the things that I worry about is just if he's ever matched up in size with a tight end, because a lot of the time safeties get matched up with tight ends, especially if you're in a man coverage scheme. So, you know, he's going to have to show that he can do it, you know, this training camp. But I remember a couple training camps ago when I think it was maybe his rookie year. And when I was watching him, I really liked the way he moved. And that's one of the things that I look for in a defensive back. So he's like, I like that he's really fluid. So that gives him a chance to compete.
Yeah, he's looked great in the preseason. It's been one of the things that's made it very easy for him. Last year in camp, I felt like he was kind of the last choice at nickel. He was like the option. It's like, well, we've tried everything else. We tried Brandon Stevens. They brought in Arthur Mollett to play the role, and then Mollett got hurt and missed most of camp. And they finally turned to Washington, and he won the job outright and frankly, going away. And then he got hurt after two games or during the second game, I forget which, and was lost for the rest of the season. But seems to be a regularly an underdog. It just is a player who the preseason has been his time, and I really hope that this is the year the Ravens find a role for him that's really the right role. If that's deep safety, great. It would be wonderful if that role is actually filled. If it's slot corner, fine. There's no reason from my point of view that Mollett has won that job just because he's got, you know, some guaranteed money in his contract at this point. I think it's a matter of whoever is the more qualified for the job, as we see throughout camp and the preseason, is the guy we probably want there.
And one of the things that I'm always rooting for him in the training camp period and in the preseason period, but he has been hit with injury after injury. It seems like, fingers crossed, he has a healthy preseason and training camp so he can really show what he can do.
You know, when the Ravens have their injury reports at camp, they talk about, yeah, he's got a short-term thing. He's got a soft tissue injury. He's got this or that. When they talk about a soft tissue injury, when Harbaugh uses those words, it's almost always a hamstring. But the positions that have very frequent soft tissue missed time injuries are the defensive backs, and not always the safeties, but it can be. Certainly the corners have it a lot, and the wide receivers. And the rest of the groups don't have it nearly as often. It's just like they've got to find some way to protect those guys at a higher level, you know, to find a way to diagnose when muscle problems are starting so that they don't finish, kind of thing. I had a pair of people on from Argentina talking about it at one point, but yeah.
Okay. And one of the factors that comes into play for me is that when the numbers start getting low, you know, like how you hear about, oh, this person missed this practice, that, and like, it's bad for that person to miss the practice, but it's almost worse for the other guys because then they have to pick up whatever percentage of snaps that was. So like the wear and tear starts to build up.
Yep. Yeah, very, very much so. And then obviously during the season, when you have those kind of injuries, yeah, you could toss on continuity issues and all the other things that go with it. But it does seem to me like a second free safety, you know, a split field safety on this team would not be too much. I'm still kind of hopefully that they pick up Daryl Worley or they go to the street and they find somebody else that they like. So they have a backup for Washington if he ends up being not the guy. Ryan Mink wrote an article fairly recently, seems to be very pro organization. Big surprise because he writes for the Ravens that Washington is going to be fine in that role, that he's done everything he's asked of him and this and that. But I think trait-wise, he does not completely make sense for that position based on his size. And even if he's played it in the past, doesn't mean at the NFL level he's going to tackle well enough to do that. Because, as you know, as we continue to say, while Marcus Williams was having a difficult year tackling with his shoulder, it's just it's part of the job description at safety. You have to be able to do it.
Yeah. And with what we have now, with Marcus's injury history, and then Ardarius's own injury history. Yeah. And after him, we have the Maryland guy, Double B. Yep. And then, like, it's pretty thin. And it, to me, it would almost seem like just from a necessity point to bring in somebody like Worley. But, like, I feel like sometimes the Ravens have more of a stomach for playing it thin than I guess I would.
Yeah, it is odd, and I've found that at certain positions, absolutely. Sometimes I like never would be okay going into an NFL game with four defensive linemen active, but they've done that sometimes. I really don't like if you're gonna potentially use Hamilton the way you do in the slot, and you might also want to use a dime back in certain situations, then what you're really talking about is there are going to be plays where you have four safeties on the field. If you're ever going to have four safeties on the field, then my position is you need to have five safeties active on game day, not just on your roster, active on game day. And we saw several times this last year where the combination of injury and that ejection by Hamilton in the one game, the ejection given to Hamilton, caused the Ravens to be really short at safety, caused the Ravens to have to actually change their defensive, you know, way of being. So Hamilton's flexibility is very valuable to the team, obviously. So anytime you lose him, whether it's due to injury or ejection, it's bad. But if a loss of Worley has happened in one game, or the loss of Washington has happened in another, you know, forces you basically to play Hamilton in some specific position, then that's not a good thing. And I hope that I hope they have enough safeties on the team to make use of Hamilton's versatility fully.
And maybe the Ravens are planning. The Ravens are very versatile. I mean, the Ravens to me, one of the best, like from far as from a planning and a strategic standpoint, they always have a plan. So if they were to go in thin, it makes me think that they're going to have packages that will compensate where, you know, they won't be relying on what we saw in the past with McDonald was here, because the Geno Smith being that kind of third safety, that versatile role, maybe that won't be what they do as much this year, but you know, we'll see. I want to say, like, as far as Washington goes, I am a fan of Washington, and I'm like, fingers crossed that he doesn't get hurt again. And I think that I feel like he can definitely find a role at nickel, and then at safety, he's got to show it in camp.
Okay, well, it'll be good. I mean, they'll see. Do you think it's possible, by the way, I know you meant Geno Stone and not Geno Smith there. I made that mistake so many times. And worse, I think I went an entire episode where I was calling Josh Jones Josh Jacobs. So if you go back and listen to any episode that has Josh Jacobs in it, I almost certainly mean Josh Jones, because Josh Jacobs is a running back. Mm-hmm. So anyway, getting back to the thing, there is a limitation on Washington that doesn't make him a normal guy in terms of a safety who can put in a wide spate of special teams roles. His size really means he's not an ideal four unit special teams player. He's really a two unit player. So the two units he can play on are the punt return team, where he'll be a jammer, and the kickoff coverage team, where you want speed and you want the ability to tackle, and he's ideal for that. But he won't play on kickoff returns, because, you know, being small and not having length is very bad, and he won't play on punt coverage, because there's only a couple places you can play and be small, with the primary one being the interior personal protector, and he's not a gunner, obviously, so really it's, there aren't a lot of choices. He's really only a two-unit player. So for him to make the team and be a guy who is a combination defender / special teams player, he has to really be good on the defensive element. All right, let's move on and talk about what makes a good season for Ardarius Washington from your point. By the way, Ed, I can see you're having a little bit of lag. I can tell that things are coming through. If you would turn off your video, and then I think I may come in smoother for you.
Okay.
All right. And let's tell us what would make a good season for Ardarius Washington at this point?
A good season would be if he can, and I guess this is looking at it from the nickel back perspective, I think if he carves out a role at nickel back and then plays some safety, then that would be a good season. So where he's like the backup safety in a role that's not carved out, especially for him. He's just insurance against Marcus.
I like that. The point you make is a really valid one about Mark. The Ravens need a backup for Marcus Williams, and they don't have it right now. you wouldn't want to put Hamilton back on there. That even if he could handle the instincts component of it, which I wouldn't be 100% sure that he could do, it would really reduce his value for him to be back there. That would be taking away a lot of the flexibility of, or sorry, the versatility of Hamilton and the playmaking ability that he gets close to the line of scrimmage. I'll go into what I said as a good season here for Ardarius. And we lost Kofi, but I'm sure he's going to be back here in just a moment. I want him to have a healthy preseason that allows the Ravens to find a role for him on defense. I actually like the way Kofi said it better, though. I was just telling folks, I like the way you said it better, I think, but I'm going through my good season right now, is that his healthy preseason allows the Ravens to find him a role on defense. He shows enough value on defense and as a two-unit special teams player, kickoff coverage and punts returns, to make the 53-man roster over options that may not be on the team now. And specifically, I'm talking about Darryl Worley or a veteran free agent, free safety. Okay, not a strong safety. Another free safety would be of real big use to the Ravens. That he has a specific role on defense, whether that's as a deep safety or a slot corner, that he plays at a league average level. I think that would be fine. That the role complements the usage of Hamilton, and he remains an option for 2025. And I've used various types of language in these goods and great season of what that means, but remains an option for 2025 means nothing's guaranteed, and he'll be a fourth-year player entering 2025. So he'll already kind of be on the roster bubble if he can't demonstrate pretty clearly that he has a spot, because he won't have any future option value to the Ravens at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what a good season would look like for me.
All right, how about a great season from your perspective, Kofi?
A great season would be in training camp, he shows that he can play the deep safety at free safety, and he shows that he can cover tight ends, which is a tall ask, and that he's trusted to be the last line of defense as a tackler, and then that affords him the ability to get a role carved out for him that Geno Stone had. I want to make sure I got that. So basically he steps into the Geno Stone role through what he shows during training camp and preseason. Okay.
I think you pretty well nailed it, Dale. I read mine just it's very similar. Play in the preseason again, flashes and demands a role either or both of, number one, combination of physicality, instincts, and ball skills of the deep safety role is not too much for him. So that's the deep safety role. Or two, he shines as a passing down slot cornerback, which would be fine also. He has second man and free rush skills that we see on display. So second man skills, I want to be very effective, either whether that means finishing tackles, knocking the ball loose, making plays as second man to the ball. And he's been a good pass rusher in the past, which taking him out of the slot would be, you know, kind of a bummer for me if they did that, but he's been a pretty good pass rusher. Those skills again show up, and I can't even figure out what I meant by this next thing, and has worked. Okay. I see. Okay. As has worked for past small slot corners in Ravens history, the two primary ones being Ivy and Tavon Young. Those are two guys who were very small human beings, relatively speaking, to other football players, but they will play effective downhill slot corner because they moved very quickly to the football, diagnosed things well, and they tackled that receiver while they were in the act of trying to get turned up field, or that running back for that matter. And delivers on a limited special teams role, and the Ravens have a valuable option for 2025. And they may even consider an early extension after 2024. So just be entering year four next year. That might be a time where a player, it wouldn't be big money, wouldn't be chart-topping money, but Darius Washington gets 2 years for $4 million or something.
Right. And it's one of the aspects that you mentioned that I forgot was – he is a good blitzer off of the nickel spot and off of that slot. And if he's in that free safety role, then that moves him further away. Like I kind of almost would like him more like I see him as a better, it's like a, it's easier to imagine him excelling in that role than it is to imagine him excelling in the, in that Geno Stone or backup free safety role. But he could do it. I mean, like, I'm trying to think of the smaller deep free safeties and I can't come up with any.
If you're going to a strong safety, the classic is Bob Sanders.
There you go.
The Colts player. Now he was a thick man, very muscular and would hit people, and he always got hurt. He got hurt all the time. That really derailed a Hall of Fame career. Yeah.
And I'm thinking of the his name escapes me. Was with the Steelers, was with Washington. But he's not even that small. He's more like 5'10". He was in the backfield with Sean Taylor. Ah, oh, man.
Backfield with Sean Taylor. Played for those two teams.
And he, hold on here. Let me pull this up.
Not Washington, right?
Let me see.
I'll let you have a minute to work on this, but I have to introduce, I think, the next player. So we'll move on, but we'll come back to this if we didn't. So I want to talk a little bit about Andrew Vorhees, who is one of the really interesting players on the Ravens coming into 2024. 6'6", 310, 32 1/8-inch arms, out of USC, took a redshirt year effectively. The Ravens drafted a guy who injured himself at the combine as a non-football injury. They were able to keep him on that list for the entire year, which has tremendous potential value for the organization in terms of getting an extra year on the first contract out of Vorhees. He's known by a lot of people as having the 38 bench reps to lead all players at the 2023 combine. And that was despite a torn ACL. Very interesting player, Ed. Did you choose this group of players for Washington or more for Vorhees?
It was equal on my part, because I did like Vorhees because I can see him having there's a clearer path for him than I feel like there is for Washington. And the player I was thinking of is Ryan Clark. But Ryan Clark is still like 3 inches taller and thicker. But yeah, so he's Ryan Clark was 5'11". But getting back to Vorhees. Yeah, so Vorhees, I kind of have this like a higher level of respect for Vorhees because of what you mentioned. Like, I think he was, I think you said it, he was like 35 or 38 on the bench. And this is after he tore his ACL. I mean, like, that's a tough dude right there. And just to start it off that way, because I think prior to that injury, he was considered, you know, like a top half of the draft type of lineman, you know, fourth, third round maybe. So, you know, he comes in with some potential.
So I think, let's see, we've heard DaCosta kind of understating it recently and saying he might have been a fourth round pick or whatever. The Ravens wouldn't have gotten him there, I don't believe. I think he would have been drafted before then by somebody. But it's interesting because clearly this could pay such dividends if it works out. It might not. But the Ravens are coming off a year where obviously they've got some continuity questions that are going to arise on the offensive line this year. They came off a year where John Simpson was their left guard, had a decent blocking year if you block out the penalties, so to speak. Once you include the penalties, he's not very good at all. That was a very significant problem for him. I think Vorhees actually has a modestly low hurdle to go. And you think about that also. Simpson was in his fourth year. He's about to become a free agent. If the Ravens going to re-sign him, there would have been money involved. If he'd actually been good, there would have been more money involved. So it wasn't looking like that was a likely situation to occur. In Vorhees' case, they've got him for 4 years. They are highly incented to install him right now if it will improve the development track for Andrew. If they can say, yeah, we can get 10% more development out of this guy because he's playing, you know, trial by fire, then that's worth it. And, you know, to top the whole thing off and ice it, I don't think they have anybody better. You know, I don't think Josh Jones is as good, and I don't think Ben Cleveland is really the right fit for left guard. And, you know, I don't think Patrick McCary is a good choice to play there, even if he possibly could be as good. I think you need to keep him as a backup tackle.
Yeah. And for Voorhees, it's almost as if this is as close to being handed a job as the Ravens do. I mean, he's still going to have to go out there and.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Earn it, but they are giving him almost like first dibs at it.
Yeah.
And what I love about the way that he's coming in is he's had a year to just, and I trust the Ravens strength and conditioning staff, and I trust Joe D. I'm sure at a time where he was away, you know, because I've read some articles, you know, where they say he's watching film, but as far as how the Ravens groom a player, I think him having almost like a redshirt year is really kind of have him prepared to step into that role.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm sure he's seen certain things. He probably has learned or seen handouts or other things on paper that may come from Joe D or from the Ravens about how they do certain drills. He hasn't been able to run those until this year, but he, you know, would have had that opportunity, you know, at least to look at these things. You know, I'll take a simple thing, pulling from left guard. Okay. And I say it's simple, but if you look back at old Ravens pre-Joe D times, they had a lot of trouble with pulling, a lot of problems with footwork at center and at both guard spots. And they were tripping over each other a lot. And not because necessarily because anyone was really challenged by the man opposite him. It's just, you know, they were taking their first steps wrong, and the players amongst them didn't know the dance steps to it right. And then you bring in non-athletic players like James Hurst and Bradley Bozeman, and you stick them at left guard, have Joe D coach them. And the combination of the center not making the wrong steps and the guard knowing what the dance steps are led to very successful pulling for those guys. I have a hard time believing Voorhees is not going to be good at following that, or that he might not have even had an advantage in terms of this year he spent around the building on NFI.
And like for me, like, so the time that I wasn't as active in the Ravens realm, you know, I've been coaching my son's basketball team, and I'm really a believer in visualization and the mental reps or the visual reps that you can get and how that affects the development. And I think that's huge. And he's had, I mean, of course, it's better to play, but when you have a staff that knows how to prepare players, and then you have a player who was talented coming in. I mean, like he wasn't just some stiff, you know, more or less. He was like a Pac-12 All-American, first team All-American. So he comes in with a skill set. So, you know, I think that he's going to fight his way into a spot.
Yeah, I would agree there. What else did I want to say? I do have one concern about Voorhees personally. He is not of ideal size and shape as a guard. At 6'6", 310, and a little bit short arm, you can live with a guard, and especially at left guard where you're on the move a lot and you're still a large mass of humanity coming towards whatever smaller man you're gonna face. That's a good thing. But the problem is, despite the 38 bench reps, that does not necessarily mean he's going to have a great anchor in the NFL. He has a very lean frame. And if he does not get his pad level right, so this will be one of the big choke points in terms of his success. Then he could be stood up a lot, backed off a lot, despite the strength. So I am concerned about that. And he's probably some of that strength, he understands principles to transfer strength from his lower body to his upper body, even though he had those 38 bench reps with an ACL tear. I'm a little bit concerned about that, I'd have to say.
Okay. And when it comes to the O-line play and watching it in depth, like as far as watching Voorhees film, like as far as a college prospect, you know, I'm more of a defensive backs, wide receivers, and like that side. So I completely defer to you when it comes to, you know, the what he's doing in the trenches as far as anchoring that stuff. So if you're saying it's something to watch out for, then it's something to watch out for.
Well, I mean, hopefully we're all watching out for it as the preseason happens, and hopefully it is a complete non-issue. I want to see. We won't know. We honestly won't know about this particular concern until they first have preseason games and that the practice that they have with the other team, which I don't know if it's Washington.
The joint practices.
Yeah. And I don't know what team they're doing with. If they're doing it with Carolina or Washington or who they're doing it with this year, I've kind of forgotten. But I'm looking forward to both of those. And he'll be a player during the preseason. All eyes are going to be on him. And he should play a lot. I would think he'll play a lot of snaps during the preseason too.
Yep. And like behind him at left guard, it's thin. I mean, I guess you could consider Cleveland, but Cleveland's going to be in competition for that right. I imagine he'll be more competition for that right spot than the left spot. And then behind him, you have Josh Jones, who wasn't so hot as a guard. And then you have Macari, who's kind of like he's our versatile chess piece, but would you want him inside? And would you want him logging that many minutes or that many snaps?
I think you just run an injury risk, or you might lose your backup tackle if you did that. And so I wouldn't be hit to that at all. I want to have him be a backup tackle only, and we're paying a little bit of money for that. But honestly, that has a way more value, and particularly in the Ravens situation where Ronnie Stanley's always kind of one misstep away from not being on the field for a couple games. It's not something I'd really want to take a chance on. If Josh Jones, you know, showed out to be the top left tackle backup in the preseason, then okay, it's on the table again whether the McCary moves here inside. But now the Ravens also have a potential ineffectiveness risk on the right side because they've got a first year player there in Rosengarten. So we haven't seen what his anchor is like at the NFL level. That's the thing I'm most concerned about, because it didn't really show up as being great at the college level, particularly in that national championship game. And so my concerns are not zero, even though I do think that the best thing that the Ravens can do is get Roger Rosengarten in there as early in the season as possible, many snaps as possible, see what he really is so they can decide what they want to do at left tackle in 2025.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too far off, but do you consider Big Dan as anywhere in the guard conversation? Because I kind of don't. I kind of see Big Dan as more of a of Bolele, like okay. As a backup right tackle type than in the guard conversation?
You know, it is an interesting question. Falele, not a guy who's used his arms regularly. If you moved him to guard, one of the nice secondary benefits of him, particularly right guard, where you have to torque that defensive tackle, one of the nice things you might get out of it is he starts to learn how to deal with some of the hand fight. And I know they did start him off at right guard from what I've been hearing in some of the OTAs. And okay. the fact that that's happened is interesting, but I don't think it necessarily means anything. Remember last year they had this head game thing with putting Salah in at left guard, which I think was a Simpson motivational tool that they, right. Of course they went to Simpson in the end, and Salah we saw in the preseason wasn't really ready to play. So I think he's probably staying at tackle. I think the guy who's in a lot of trouble in terms of his spot on the team is Salah right now. I don't think the team will carry all of those tackles plus him at guard. I don't see that happening. So I think he's in a little bit of risk. He may end up on the practice squad.
Right. And I love that you mentioned how the Ravens during training camp, like they try so many combinations, and some of the combinations you're kind of looking at, you're like, what? But then like, I guess they give everyone an opportunity to fail or to like the Ravens always see what someone can do at another spot. Like they always give them that chance.
Yeah. You can look back to last year. They let Ben Cleveland spend some time at right tackle. I think they had, who was it? It was Powers. They had a couple of years ago who took some snaps at center, you know, and they were trying to figure out if he could maybe be a backup there. I think they had a relatively disastrous sequence of plays and turned that faucet off pretty quickly. But it is what it is. And Powers ended up, hey, being a hell of a ball player in his final year with the Ravens. So so that was exciting. Well, let's go back to Andrew Vorhees for a second, and let's try and really nail it down. What for you is a good season for him?
So for me, I'm gonna raise the bar for Vorhees to where a good season is that he earns the starting spot at left guard and he's league like replacement level. He's basically like a third or fourth year, a third or fourth round pick starting his first time, and then you're not expecting him to be Zeitler. You're expecting him to have his struggles, but not be replaceable.
Okay. All right. I like that. And I'm going to come in almost on the same spot as you, I think. Is there more?
No, that's yep. Okay.
All right. So here's what I said for a good season. Impresses in a healthy preseason, wins the starting left guard role over Josh Jones, Ben Cleveland, Salah, and the Ravens never consider Mekari for the role. He plays 15 plus games. He plays his first season at a league average level. I would take a little bit below, but a league average level, I don't actually think that's out of the realm of possibility. And my good season, just to remind people, is at the 60th percentile. So do I think there's a 40% chance that he can play at the league average? I think I do. I think there's a 40% chance he can play at the league average or higher. And that would be demonstrably better than John Simpson if he were to do that. I want him to combine with Linderbaum as a valuable combination block tandem. And that means a couple things. They've got to really understand each other in terms of when you release to level two. I don't want either of them releasing too quick and moving up. I want them to make an active decision to try and get the guy off their pins before you leave him for the trailing guy. Now, there are times when you're forced to move quicker than that. And all you have time for is a little check effectively on that to try and help out your center or your guard a little bit. But whoever is the trailing guy needs to have a good understanding, a good working relationship on combination blocks. I wanted to process quickly from the inside out. This deals with the other player he's playing with, which is Ronnie Stanley, we presume, on his left. So he's going to have to process his pass blocking reps from the inside out. So help the center, when he's guard bubble, I'm talking about now. Help the center, look for potential blitzers, look for potential stunts, then immediately move over and help Stanley with a help block. Stanley, in the early part of last year, really could use help block after help block. And you really tire out a defensive player who's in that position if it's not just a running back hitting in the ribs, but another lineman hitting in the ribs. It can be very effective. So I want to see that. And then what I have is the last thing. He remains the incumbent for 2025. So if he plays, you know, even a little bit below the league average level, he'd remain the incumbent for 2025. I don't think the Ravens would be looking to draft a guard specifically. They might end up having one fall into their laps and decide they want to take one, but I think they'd be leaning towards that being a right guard with Cleveland gone after this season. So I think that would be a possibility. And at worst, he is part of an internal quickly determined competition in 2025 camp to determine who the left guard is. No worse than that. I basically, he'll be an incumbent and hopefully will basically be part of their continuity plans for 25.
Yep. Like he'll be on that track for a mid-round lineman pick to develop into the second year or his third year, but you know, his second year.
Yeah. That's a great point. That development track for the Ravens, it's always been very consistently up year over year. And even with some mediocre guys they've let play in there, you know, players like, you know, Matt Skura was not the greatest player when he first came into the league, but he became a pretty good center. And you can point to all other kinds of powers. Maybe Cleveland fits in the same thing. His growth is a little more irregular. But Rick Wagner would have been a guy who improved year over year. They're middle of the pack guys usually have a good solid development to them.
Yep. The hallmark of the Ravens.
All right. So what's a great season from your perspective?
So a great season is you can tell early on in the preseason games that he's going to be a player. So he's like, he ends the conversation early about the competition for left guard. And during the season, he's definitely above a replacement level to where he's a solid starter. Like he's like a green level player. Like he's like maybe rating in like the 60s and the 70s consistently. So, or maybe PFF, he averages out to the 60s and 70s.
Like you're talking about
Roger that. Yep. So like where, and then to talk about going into the next year, then he would be considered, then that spot's locked up.
Okay. Those are good. And I think I'm going to be similar here again. I'd said wins the starting left guard role and is healthy for all games. And remember, this is a top 20%. That's not that uncommon that a lineman's healthy for every game. So I'm putting that condition in there. Play is above the league average, which is extremely unusual for a rookie. So if he's above the league average, I can't even tell you how special that is. Linderbaum was probably slightly above the league average as a rookie. Bad pass blocker, good run blocker, but he was great his second year. So if we could get a year at or above the league average, slightly above the league average, would be fantastic out of a rookie. He learns the Ravens way on pulling and excels in that role. His blocking in space is better than expected when climbing. He handles, this is a big one, he handles the blitz and stunt handoffs by recognition and depth management, at least at a league average level. And that's one of the areas can be very, very tough for rookies. And one of the problems that Linderbaum had a lot of trouble as a rookie, but Linderbaum is basically his running mate in this particular thing. So he and Linderbaum need to match depth well, which interior offensive linemen typically do, and then they need to be in sync about how handoffs get made, and they both need to understand their role in those pickups. So I hope he could do that. That would really be something, by the way. That's a big ask of a rookie, but it would really be something. I think that's why I put it at the 80th percentile. He limits his penalties by understanding when he needs to let go, despite the tremendous advantages he gains personally from grip strength. He is a guy who, you know, has good hand strength, can hold onto the uniform on the inside. And, you know, generally speaking, linemen do not like to give that up, and they need to know when to do it when somebody's outside. John Simpson did not know, and it created a lot of post-snap penalties. Those need to be avoided. And the last thing is very similar to yours. Ravens enter the offseason projecting him as a starter for 2025 to 27 and are excited about the possibility of additional growth. Can you imagine like a slightly above the league average season, what we're going to think about Andrew Voorhees for these next 3 years?
And cheap.
Yeah, and cheap. Yeah. All right. Kofi, always fun to talk football with you.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you. So if the line looks solid and we have that beast in the backfield now, right? So do you see the possibility of running the ball more because of the youth on the line to kind of protect them?
That's a really, you know, no one's posed the question exactly that way. I'll go through what I did with Sarah really briefly, that I think the chance of them improving at center, I think it'll be a year of consolidation for Linderbaum. I don't think he'll be any better than he was this last year, which was darn good. For Stanley, I think there's a possibility he can be better because he had a very bad year, but was good at the end of the year. So maybe he's finally going to be healthier and we're going to see a better Ronnie. And I know he'll never be who he was in 2019 again, but I'm hoping he can be a step forward. Then we got three open spots. So we got at left guard, we have a bad player being replaced by a guy who's been on NFI who comes with a very high pedigree. And I think the chance is probably 65% he's better than Simpson. So I think they could be better there. At right guard, Zeitler is going to be a very tough act for Cleveland to follow. 30 to 35% chance maybe that Cleveland is better than him. Cleveland's the bigger human, but he's got a lot less of a consistency resume than a player like Zeitler does. And I think they're going to lose a lot of their continuity value that Zeitler brought the team in terms of really understanding the dance steps between the center and the right tackle and what he needed to do to manage depth, to handle stunt handoffs, to do all the things he needed to do correctly. And then at right tackle, I think we've got a real problem because Moses had a good year last year, despite the injury. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing in a rookie who has a real questionable anchor. And I think they're going to have to see if that holds up. And hopefully it will. And hopefully Rosengarten shows qualities that could make him a decent left tackle as well. And that becomes at least an option for the future. But I think in general, the line probably will not be as good. And of course, we're looking at that and expecting Henry to have a big year. But your question was an interesting one. You said, will they try and run the ball more to protect that line? I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I don't think that they have the onus to pass as much. Sorry, they will have the onus to pass more than last year, because of game conditions not being as good. So you're going to trail in more games. You're going to have to pass to catch up. But I think in other terms, when you have all things being equal, the first quarter and things like that, when the game hasn't been determined and you're still playing for expected points, I could see a heavier run mix.
I'm one of the old school guys in terms of I don't mind it when they run the ball.
No.
And I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, just getting some more downhill action, having Lamar under center, and really commit to having like that ground game presence. And, you know, hey, you got two tight ends, you could get them on the field, you know. And I hate to say the words, you know, Greg Roman, he's not the most popular guy, but I wouldn't mind seeing more of that mindset early on this year as the line kind of sorts itself out.
Yeah, I agree. I think their offensive skill positions are loaded in a lot of ways, particularly at the combination of tight end and fullback. With when you include Ricard as a tight end, you can easily see all four of those guys being unhappy with their snap count. It's not hard to see at all, because I can't figure out how they're going to get them all on the field. Then they got running backs. And you see, you bring in Henry and he wants to play every snap anyway. But the Ravens don't really play every snap, so Henry's going to be unhappy. They don't play any running back every snap. And then they have other guys who are just trying to get some things. Justice Hill played a lot and was effective last year. You're going to cut his playing time. You have Rasheen Ali, who's been a bell cow back at Marshall. You're bringing him in, you're going to cut his playing time. Really, I think he's going to be, you know, whatever drips and drabs of snaps he gets is he's just going to have to be happy with. You're going to probably want to play some pony backfield, which is going to take snaps away from wide receivers. You're going to have more gadgetry on the field. I mean, the good thing about it is the Ravens have a lot of players who can play those five skill position positions and are looking to get snaps. And there's just a lot of them are not going to be happy with the situation.
Yep. Yep.
All right, Kofi, just always a pleasure to talk football with you. I hope we can get together more on these kind of things. I hope you'll come back for the concern series and give me your biggest concern about the Ravens coming up.
I would love to.
Okay. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm Ed Romeo on Russell Street Report. I'm just a poster. I don't post as much as I used to, and I don't post as many. I haven't posted an article in like 2 years. So, but I'm still there. I'm out there lurking. And then I'm also on Twitter or X or whatever it is now. Although I'm like the worst guy on X. Like I almost never check it. So,
okay. But you're at K Brizzles on X.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, outstanding. So other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. If you have a particular topic you want to understand, that's fine. I'll get back to you very quickly. If you want to discuss a specific concern about the 2024 Ravens, DM me again. I will get back to you very quickly and schedule a show before training camp starts, because that's when that series is going to be airing, basically, is at the beginning of training camp. So please do so pretty quickly. Kofi, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken. Always a pleasure. Love and miss talking Ravens football.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.